Imagine it's Friday afternoon. You just went through this truly agonizing process of firing a disgruntled senior financial analyst.
Oof, yeah. Never a fun situation.
Right. It was messy, it was tense, but, you know, it's done. You're relieved.
You think you're in the clear.
Exactly. But then Monday morning rolls around and you realize something completely terrifying.
They still have access.
Yes. That ex-employee still has the active password to your company's master global payroll database.
Oh, wow.
And worse, they even logged in on Saturday, so how does that happen?
Yeah, that is a nightmare scenario.
Well, it happens because of a massive failure in identity governance. So, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are examining a really comprehensive 2026 source document titled Identity IQ versus Identity Security Cloud. The complete 2026 comparison.
It's a great document. Really gets into the weeds.
It really does. And our mission here today is to demystify enterprise identity governance. We're exploring one of the absolute most consequential decisions a corporate security team will ever make.
Yeah, which is choosing the exact platform that manages who has access to what and, you know, when.
Right. And why does this matter so much?
Well, it's a foundational choice. I mean, the platform an organization selects doesn't just dictate their security posture for the next decade.
It's way bigger than that.
Totally. It completely defines their audit readiness, their operational agility, and honestly, their total cost of ownership.
So whether you are an IT professional trying to prep for a major infrastructure decision, or, you know, you're just a curious learner wondering how massive global corporations actually keep hackers out of their sensitive HR files.
Which is a valid thing to wonder about these days.
Absolutely. This debate hits on the absolute core of modern cybersecurity. It is all about finding that delicate balance between rock solid control and agile convenience.
That's the eternal struggle right there.
Okay, let's unpack this. We are looking at SailPoint's two flagship platforms, right?
Right, the big two.
Identity IQ, which is often called IOQ, and Identity Security Cloud, or ISC. And to make this core difference relatable, think of it kind of like real estate.
Okay, I like it.
Choosing Identity IQ is like choosing to build a custom, highly fortified house from scratch. Like, you hold every single blueprint.
You're pouring the foundation yourself.
Exactly. You dictate exactly how thick the concrete walls are, where the secret passages go, and you literally own the land.
But there's a catch, right?
Right, because it's your house. You also have to fix the plumbing when it breaks, and you have to patch the roof when it leaks.
That's all on you.
On the other hand, Identity Security Cloud is like moving into a state-of-the-art, fully furnished smart apartment.
Okay.
It has all the modern security features built right into the walls, and the building management handles absolutely all the maintenance.
You just show up and live there.
You just live there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can't knock down a load-bearing wall just because you suddenly feel like changing the floor plan.
The smart apartment analogy is a great starting point.
Yeah.
But let's take it a step further to really capture the stakes here.
Okay, lay it on me.
In this smart apartment, the landlord isn't just fixing the plumbing. They are actively monitoring every single time a key card is swiped at any door in the building.
Just to ensure it's actually the authorized tenant.
Exactly. And those stakes are incredibly high.
Yeah.
Because if an organization picks the wrong platform for their specific environment,
what happens?
Well, the security team ends up fighting the tool itself instead of fighting actual security threats.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds like a massive bottleneck.
It is. I mean, if you try to force a hyper-customized legacy enterprise into that standardized smart apartment,
which just won't fit.
Right. Or conversely, if you force a nimble cloud-first startup to spend 2 years building a custom concrete fortress, you will waste time, you'll burn through IT budgets, and you'll leave severe vulnerabilities wide open.
I can definitely see how that becomes a bottleneck instead of a business enabler.
Totally.
So before we get into the advanced monitoring and the actual governance technology, we really need to understand where this software physically sits.
Yes, the deployment model.
Because the location seems to dictate the entire reality of a company's IT operations.
It dictates everything.
So let's start with the foundation. Identity IQ, the custom fortress, is self-hosted.
Right.
It lives on-premises in a company's own physical data center, or maybe in their private cloud.
Yep, that's correct.
And the sources note, it is built on a Java foundation with a very rich XML object model. Now, if I'm a business leader reading that, my eyes might just glaze over.
Oh, absolutely. It's a lot of jargon.
Right. So what does having a rich XML object model actually mean for a company's day-to-day operations?
Well, think of it like highly malleable digital clay.
Digital clay. Okay.
Because you have access to that Java and XML foundation, Your engineers have really granular code-level extensibility.
Meaning they can change basically anything.
Literally anything. They can write highly specific code to shape the software's behavior so that it matches completely idiosyncratic, bizarre business processes.
Give me an example of that. Like, who needs that level of weird customization?
Let's say you are a 200-year-old bank, right? And a core part of your daily operations relies on a proprietary mainframe that was custom-built in, I don't know, 1992.
Oh, man.
Standard modern software just cannot talk to that mainframe out of the box.
It doesn't speak the language.
Right. But with IIQ, your engineers can literally get into the code and build a custom bridge to make it work.
So you literally control every line of logic to make the puzzle pieces fit.
You do. But, and this is the big but, that level of supreme control demands immense operational effort.
Because you're the one maintaining the bridge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you own the software environment, you own the physical servers it runs on, you own the redundancy backups.
And the disaster recovery.
You own the disaster recovery plan. You mm-hmm. have to plan the software upgrades, which, by the way, are often major multi-month projects.
Oh, I bet. That requires scheduled system downtime, right?
Yeah. And you are even responsible for monitoring the hardware to ensure the servers don't physically overheat in the room.
Which naturally brings us to the alternative, right? Identity Security Cloud or ISC?
Yeah, Smart Apartment.
Exactly. Now, a quick note for anyone doing their own research. The sources mentioned this was formerly known as Identity Now.
Yeah, so you might see that name floating around in older documentation.
Good to know. So ISC is a cloud-native SaaS platform, meaning software as a service.
Right.
It's built on SailPoint's Atlas Foundation. And the sources describe it as a, quote, multi-tenant environment.
Which is a key term here.
Hold on. For those unfamiliar, multi-tenant basically means you are sharing the underlying cloud computing infrastructure with other companies, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
You're like renting an apartment in a massive high-rise building.
Exactly.
Your data is strictly partitioned, it's locked, it's completely secure, but you don't actually own the physical server rack it sits on.
That is a very accurate way to visualize it.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is a SaaS model, SailPoint hosts the software, they patch the vulnerabilities, and they secure the underlying infrastructure on your behalf.
So you don't have to worry about overheating servers.
Not at all.
Yeah.
The software updates just arrive automatically and continuously in the background.
With no downtime.
Zero downtime required from your team.
Wait, I'm getting stuck on something here.
What's that?
If Identity IQ requires a company to buy physical servers, plan massive upgrade projects, endure system downtime, and hire a team just to keep the lights on.
It's a lot of work.
Why on earth would a modern company put up with that? I mean, it sounds like an operational nightmare.
It definitely can be.
So if ISC completely removes the burden of installing and patching servers, why wouldn't every single enterprise just choose the cloud and let the vendor do the heavy lifting?
What's fascinating here is that the choice between these two isn't actually driven by what is easiest for the IT team.
Oh, really? What drives it then?
It is driven by what is legally, structurally, or mathematically required for the business to exist.
Okay, explain that.
Take highly regulated enterprises, like major global banks, defense contractors, intelligence agencies.
Heavy hitters.
Right. They often operate under incredibly strict data residency mandates.
Ah, legal red tape.
Exactly. They might be bound by federal laws requiring that their employee data literally never crosses a national border or even never leaves a specific physical building.
Wow. Ah, so it is not a preference at all. They are legally barred from sending their identity data to a shared multi-tenant cloud.
You got it. And beyond that, consider air-gapped environments.
Air-gapped, like totally disconnected.
Yep. These are critical security networks. Think nuclear power plants or classified military research labs. They are physically disconnected from the public internet.
Oh, wow. So no Wi-Fi.
The network cables literally do not connect to the outside world. So a SaaS platform fundamentally cannot function there because it requires a continuous web connection to the vendor's cloud servers.
That makes a lot of sense. So ISC heavily favors configuration over custom code, right?
Right.
It uses guided setups, standardized templates, and out-of-the-box integrations.
Because it has to be standardized to run on the cloud.
Which means it is incredibly fast to deploy, but it is much less granular than IIQ.
Precisely. If an organization has a convoluted business process that absolutely cannot be squeezed into a standardized SaaS template, well, IIQ's infinite flexibility isn't just a nice-to-have feature.
It's mandatory.
It is the fundamental deciding factor that allows the business to function.
Okay, so let's say an organization has made their choice.
Okay.
The bank has poured the concrete, for their IAQ servers, and the Agile tech startup has signed the lease for their ISC cloud instance.
The foundation is set.
Right. How do these platforms actually manage the daily chaos of human resources? Let's take a hospital network with 50,000 employees.
That's a lot of identities to manage.
Every single day, new nurses are hired, doctors are promoted to department heads, staff move from one facility to another, and people retire.
The cybersecurity industry calls this continuous churn the joiner, mover, lever life cycle.
Joiner, mover, lever. I like that.
And automating that life cycle is the primary way a company stops the massive security gaps created by manual human processes.
Let's visualize that. So a nurse moves from the emergency room to the pediatrics ward.
Right.
They urgently need access to the pediatric drug cabinet systems and the pediatric patient records.
Obviously.
But just as importantly, they need their access to the ER trauma databases completely revoked.
Immediately.
If the hospital relies on a busy manager manually emailing the IT department to request those changes.
Someone is going to forget to send the email.
Exactly. Or IT is going to be 3 days behind on their support tickets.
And that creates a massive vulnerability where an employee holds overlapping contradictory permissions.
Which is exactly what we want to avoid. So both IIQ and ISC are powerful identity governance and administration engines designed to prevent exactly that scenario, right?
Right. They both handle access requests, they enforce policies, and they automatically provision accounts.
But the underlying technology they use to execute that governance is where the two platforms sharply diverge.
Very sharply.
Let's look at how IIQ handles this first. According to the sources, IIQ relies on powerful, engineer-defined workflow automation.
Yep, it is fundamentally based on rule-based logic.
Meaning an engineer literally programs the system with rules.
Yeah, like if an employee's title changes from ER nurse to pediatric nurse, automatically trigger workflow A, B, and C.
It does exactly what it is told to do.
Nothing more, nothing less. And when it comes to compliance, meaning proving to government auditors that only the correct people have access to sensitive data,
right.
IIQ typically relies on scheduled point-in-time certification campaigns.
A certification campaign? What does that actually look like for the people working there?
Well, it's a highly formal audit process. In an IIQ environment, managers are periodically handed a massive spreadsheet or dashboard listing every single one of their employees.
Oh, boy.
And every single system those employees can access.
That sounds overwhelming.
It is. The manager has to formally look at the list and certify, yes, Dave still needs this, or no, revoke this.
And because IIQ environments are often deeply complex, these campaigns must be massive events.
Highly orchestrated events that usually only happen once a quarter or sometimes just once a year.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Compare that rigid, scheduled, rule-based approach to how ISC handles the exact same problem.
It's totally different.
ISC embeds AI-powered security natively into the platform. It doesn't just sit there waiting for an engineer to write a rule.
Right, it's proactive.
It actively uses machine learning to conduct what is called peer group analysis.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is where the governance model fundamentally shifts.
How so? Like, how does that peer group analysis actually function in practice?
Basically, the AI looks at everyone in a specific department, say the marketing team.
Okay.
The algorithm clusters those users and says, wait a minute, 99 out of 100 people in marketing have these exact same 5 permissions.
Right. They all need the same stuff.
But this one specific user, Dave, has a completely different, highly sensitive permission to access the offshore accounts folder. Why?
Uh-oh, Dave's up to something.
Exactly. It flags that outlier permission automatically.
And instead of waiting for a massive annual audit, ISC pushes toward event-driven micro-certifications.
Yes. That transition from scheduled audits to continuous event-driven compliance is nothing short of revolutionary for an enterprise's security posture.
It totally changes the daily experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of IIQ's schedule compliance campaigns like a massive, deeply stressful annual tax audit.
Oh, that's a perfect way to describe it.
You spend weeks gathering paperwork, pulling your hair out, bothering everyone in your department.
Just to prove to the auditors that everything was perfectly correct on one specific day in December.
Exactly. But ISC's continuous micro-certifications act more like a smartwatch fitness tracker that corrects your posture in real time every single day.
Oh, I love that analogy.
Just like a fitness tracker reads our pulse, ISC taps directly into the API endpoints of a company's software to read access pulses in real time.
Right. So the very moment Dave's access looks weird, his manager gets a tiny, actionable alert.
Like a ping in Slack or Microsoft Teams.
Yep. Just saying, hey, Dave's permissions are an anomaly compared to his peers. Did you mean to give him this?
That is so much easier.
And this completely mitigates one of the biggest vulnerabilities in enterprise security, human fatigue.
Because reviewing hundreds of access points is exhausting.
Exactly. When managers are hit with that annual tax audit-style certification campaign, they might have literally hundreds of obscure access points to review for dozens of employees.
They don't have the time to investigate every single line item.
So they just highlight the whole list and click approve all just to make the screen go away.
Just to get back to their actual jobs.
Yeah, it is an incredibly common phenomenon known as rubber stamping.
Rubber stamping.
The manager assumes the IT team knows what they're doing, so they blindly approve everything.
But AI cuts entirely through that noise, right?
It does. By using machine learning to analyze those peer groups and generate smart access recommendations, ISC provides the human reviewer with actual data-driven evidence instead of guesswork.
It isolates the anomaly for them.
Yes. And this capability directly supports the implementation of a zero-trust architecture.
Zero trust. Now, that is a buzzword that gets thrown around a lot.
Oh, constantly.
Let's really break down what that means in the context of identity.
Zero trust is a security framework that completely abandons the idea of a trusted internal network.
Meaning, just because you're inside the building doesn't mean you're safe.
Exactly. Historically, if you were logged into the corporate VPN, the system assumed you were a good guy.
But zero trust assumes threats are actively operating both outside and inside the network.
Right. You do not trust an identity just because they successfully entered a password once.
So in a zero trust architecture, identity itself becomes the primary control plane.
You must continuously verify that the user is who they claim to be, and you must enforce least privilege.
Least privilege, meaning they only have the absolute bare minimum access required to perform their current task and nothing more.
Nothing more. Artificial intelligence is critical here because human beings simply cannot process the sheer mathematical volume of data required to monitor and adjust least privilege in real time across 50,000 employees.
That makes total sense. Humans just can't do the math fast enough.
We really can't.
The sources also highlight something called segregation of duties, or SOD, which ties right into this.
Yes, SOD is huge.
Segregation of duties is about ensuring no single identity holds a toxic combination of permissions.
Right, a classic example in finance.
Yeah.
You cannot give the same employee the permission to draft a vendor payment check.
And also give them the permission to independently approve that exact same check.
That is literally how corporate fraud happens.
Now, both platforms enforce this, but differently, right? IIQ allows engineers to write incredibly complex custom rules to prevent those specific combinations.
Right, manually defined rules.
While ISC, on the other hand, uses AI and real-time usage patterns to help discover where those toxic combinations are occurring dynamically.
And it helps refine those policies on the fly, which naturally brings us to the operational reality of running these platforms.
Yes, the real world.
Having explored how the foundation works and how the governance engines operate, we have to look at how these systems actually survive out in the wild.
Like when a company is forced to scale rapidly.
Yes, and how the finance department actually pays for them.
Money and scale. Let's talk about scalability first. With Identity IQ, because you own the physical or virtual infrastructure, scaling up requires serious capacity forecasting.
You have to predict exactly how much server space and computing power you are going to need a full year in advance.
And then you have to buy it, provision it, and maintain it.
Which worked perfectly fine for a stable company with a very slow, highly predictable growth curve.
But what about rapid growth?
Well, consider the reality of a massive retail organization heading into the holiday shopping season.
Oh, right. Black Friday.
They might need to onboard 15,000 temporary seasonal warehouse workers in a matter of 2 weeks.
Wow. If you are running IIQ, you better hope your IT director correctly guessed how many servers to buy 6 months ago.
If they guessed wrong, the system bottlenecks and those 15,000 workers can't even log in to do their jobs.
But with ISC, because it is a multi-tenant cloud-native SaaS, it scales elastically.
Just stretches right out.
It seamlessly absorbs those massive sudden spikes in identities without a single person in the IT department needing to run down to a server room to plug in a new hardware rack.
The cloud just flexes to meet the demand.
Huh.
And that elasticity completely changes the financial equation for the enterprise.
Let's break down the pricing models then. According to the sources, IIQ is typically sold as a perpetual license or a term license based on the specific software modules you choose to activate.
Right, but the license fee is really only part of the story.
Because of the hidden costs.
A massive hidden cost.
Yeah.
You have to factor in purchasing the hardware, the electricity to run the data center, the cooling systems for the servers.
And the salaries of the highly specialized engineers required to maintain that custom Java and XML environment.
Yeah. Exactly. ISC, meanwhile, operates on a much more straightforward subscription model.
It's usually tiered simply by the number of employee identities you are actively managing, right?
Yep. All of that underlying infrastructure, the automatic patching, and the database maintenance are just folded directly into that single subscription fee.
Which naturally leads to a significantly faster time to value.
Much faster.
Because there are no servers to rack and no custom code to compile, an ISC rollout is an accelerated onboarding process. It is often measured in weeks.
Conversely, an IIQ rollout is a massive, highly complex, project-driven effort.
Like, how long does that take?
It can take several quarters or even years for a sprawling enterprise to fully implement.
Years? Wow. I want to ground this in some actual market data because the source has provided some truly incredible numbers that illustrate this shift.
Let's hear them.
The global identity governance and administration market was valued at roughly $7.9 billion in 2024.
Okay.
But it is projected to explode to $27.11 billion by 2033.
That is massive growth.
That is nearly a 15% compound annual growth rate. To put that in perspective, this relatively niche software sector is growing at a staggering pace because the traditional corporate firewall is essentially dead.
It really is.
Yeah.
Employees aren't sitting in cubicles anymore.
No, they are logging into highly sensitive corporate databases from coffee shops on their personal iPads.
Identity is literally the new firewall.
Exactly. Digital transformation, the permanent shift to distributed remote work, and the frantic adoption of zero trust strategies are fueling that $27 billion projection.
And the sources note that different industries are splitting their choices based on exactly these pressures.
Right. Retail and manufacturing heavily lean toward ISC.
They desperately need that fast onboarding, the elastic seasonal scaling, and the ability to manage a highly distributed workforce without maintaining server farms.
But banking, financial services, and government agencies, they still lean heavily toward IIQ to tightly control their bespoke custom legacy estates.
Though there is a middle ground.
Right. The sources mentioned the use of virtual appliances to create hybrid setups.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is a virtual appliance in this context?
Think of a virtual appliance as a highly secure digital bridge.
Okay.
It is a lightweight piece of software that sits securely inside a company's private on-premises network.
Acting like a translator.
Exactly. It allows the cloud-based ISC platform to reach down into the local network and safely govern those ancient legacy mainframes without the SaaS platform ever needing to be directly installed on the mainframe itself.
Ah, so it is the stepping stone for legacy enterprises that want to modernize but can't completely abandon their old hardware.
Precisely.
So what does this all mean? I have to challenge the narrative here a bit.
Go for it.
Given that the macro market trend so heavily favors cloud computing, and this market is exploding toward $27 billion, almost entirely fueled by SaaS adoption.
Yeah.
Is Identity IQ basically a dinosaur waiting to go extinct? I mean, why would SailPoint keep pouring development money into a custom on-prem fortress when the whole corporate world seems to be moving into smart apartments?
It is a totally logical assumption, but the sources provide a definitive answer. No.
Not a dinosaur.
Identity IQ is absolutely not being sunset or discontinued. It remains an impenetrable stronghold for deeply customized, highly complex environments.
Because of those legal and technical constraints we talked about.
Exactly. If you are a federal intelligence agency, you cannot just rip and replace your core classified systems to fit into a cloud template.
Right.
IIQ is a mature, battle-tested solution that handles a level of idiosyncratic complexity that no standardized SaaS platform on the market can touch right now.
Okay, so the fortress stays. But the momentum of innovation is definitely with the cloud.
Without a doubt. ISC represents where the cybersecurity industry is heading.
Right.
SailPoint's massive investment in their cloud platform clearly signals that ISC is the anchor for their future innovation, specifically regarding the integration of artificial intelligence.
So cloud AI is the future default.
The market treats cloud-delivered, AI-driven governance not just as a lightweight alternative, but as the mandatory new default for the vast majority of modern organizations.
Which makes sense given the scale we're talking about.
And this raises an important question for you, the listener, to ask about your own organization or any organization you are analyzing.
What's that?
What does the growth trajectory actually look like? Are you analyzing a bespoke, heavily regulated institution that requires absolute granular control over data residency?
Or are you looking at an agile, rapidly scaling enterprise that needs to move fast, absorb seasonal employee spikes, and rely on machine learning to keep everything secure?
That is the multi-million-dollar question.
And it brings us perfectly to our key takeaways from this deep dive. Distilling everything we've covered, the choice between Identity IQ and Identity Security Cloud isn't about which piece of software is objectively better in a vacuum.
No, it is entirely about an organization's specific constraints.
Deployment dictates the reality. Are you legally or operationally required to self-host your data on-premises?
Or are you free to leverage a vendor-managed SaaS?
It really comes down to customization versus speed. Does your IT team need deep code-level extensibility to map out highly unique, decades-old workflows?
Or do you prioritize rapid deployment and automatic updates through standardized configuration?
And ultimately, it is about engineer-defined rules versus native AI.
Are you comfortable relying on scheduled, highly manual point-in-time compliance campaigns?
Mm-hmm.
Or is your organization ready to adopt continuous, always current governance driven by real-time machine learning?
You should care about this, regardless of your industry, because keeping least privilege achievable at a massive enterprise scale is the invisible shield that protects your personal and financial data.
Absolutely.
Every single time you read a headline about a massive data breach, a hospital ransomware attack, or a huge corporate hack, it almost always boils down to a compromised identity.
Someone got access to a system they shouldn't have had access to.
Exactly. Whether you are actively looking to build a career in cybersecurity architecture, or you just want to be a well-informed leader when it comes to enterprise technology, understanding this dynamic, the eternal struggle between ultimate control and agile convenience, is absolutely crucial.
It is the bedrock of modern digital trust. I mean, if a company cannot effectively govern exactly who has access to their internal systems, they do not have security. Full stop.
Which leaves us with a final thought to ponder. We spent a lot of time talking about how the future of identity security relies heavily on AI predicting and preventing access anomalies in real time.
Right.
It does this precisely because human managers are simply too fatigued and too slow to do it accurately across thousands of employees.
That's the reality of the scale today.
But if that is the trajectory we are on, at what point do we stop trusting human managers to define our corporate security perimeters altogether?
Ooh, that's a profound thought.
If the AI is demonstrably better at catching the anomalies, when do we fully hand the keys to the algorithms and remove human oversight entirely?
Yeah, if the smart apartment is flawlessly managing itself, when do we stop pretending we even know how to fix the plumbing?
Something to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.